Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bad Company. Normally with Gray Eyes Smith, I believe, but I'm not positive, Gray Eyes will be joining us later. But in the meantime, it's myself, fill my eyes. And my lovely co-host for the evening is Pam Ray. Hi, Pam.
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
God, you made me nervous. That hesitation just made me think I just said all that and you weren't there. Holy
right,
moly.
Right, like I had to jump ship at the
yeah,
beginning of the
voice.
Yeah, you
jumped ship on me. Exactly. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah. So, here we are again. You know,
yep.
But I have faith. Well, life will be good. Gray has us hooked up with a nice board. Okay,
yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that. I looked through the poetry. It's a great lineup tonight. You know.
Look,
and
board.
Absolutely.
Fair amount of audios too, so.
Yes.
Hey, you can't beat that, right? That's
yep,
the way
exactly.
I see it.
Yeah, and the nice thing is with no specific topic, we get a diversity tonight. And you know, I personally, I like diversity. So.
I get two in a row.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. You have to excuse me in, excuse me. Yeah, Jeff, forgive me for yawning. I don't know. For some reason, after having a cold for 2 days, my body seems to think that it is now bedtime. It's awful. But I don't plan on going to sleep. If you hear snoring, please feel free to mute me. Just saying, you know. Just saying.
All right.
You know. Now, don't make an answer before you
actually,
mute me, though. Just
what
mute.
I think I'll do is I'll mute you. And then, you know, I'll unmute you if people bid enough money to have you unmuted. And then I'll donate that money towards Late Night Poets Radio.
There you go. Yes. You better get them checks up front, Pam. Better get them checks up front. That's all I'm going to say.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. yeah, that sounds like a great, that's a good moneymaker there. I like it.
There you go.
Well,
got it. Business sense.
Yeah, but get everything covered, man. That'd be great. Well, let's see now. I'm not sure if anyone's calling in or who's calling in. I know that we have one on the line, and I believe that is Martha Gettle. Hello, Martha.
Hello.
Welcome to the party.
Thank
How
you.
Are you tonight?
Hey, Martha. I'm good.
Very good. Well, I don't know, Pam. What do you think? You think we should get this party get this party started? I don't know about on anything, but
absolutely. I am definitely ready to be bad company.
Oh, God, I've been bad company all my life. Jeez Louise, yeah. I'll tell you what. I'm going to start out with you reading, Pam. And let me see. That's the button I wanted. Wow. Telling you. Okay, I'm going to give you this one to read. And this is by Amethyst Moonjade.
All right. The Goddess by Amethyst Moonjade. And it goes like this. She was a goddess of rain, crops, and family. She ruled a fertile land, and the people worshipped her, giving offerings of the land and their handicrafts in appreciation for her benefices. She ruled her land for thousands of years, and her people prospered and became wealthy, much to the envy of their neighboring village, who became jealous of their wealth and luck. They did not worship the goddess Laysa. They worshipped Ogun, the god of war. Soon they decided that they were entitled to the wealth of Laysa's people. They prayed to Ogun and made all the appropriate sacrifices to ensure a successful raid. Their warriors struck in the wee hours of morning when the guards were at their sleepiest. They stole inside the village and headed for the chieftain's hut. Once inside, they demanded the village's money. The chieftain said, "The wealth of the village isn't in money. It's in the crops grown on the land, the fertility of our cattle and goats. We live under the blessings of our goddess, Leza. We have no money. The warriors did not believe the chieftain and killed him. Then they ramshacked the village. The villagers were outraged at the death of their chieftain and the ramsacking of their village. The villagers piled into the temple as the priestess called up on Leza to cause a rain that would make the river flood and drown the warriors in retribution for the sneak attack and killing of the chieftain. The village of the followers of Ogun waited to hear the report of their warriors. They found their drowned bodies at the edge of the river that had flooded. They did not send a second attack, fearing the wrath of the rain goddess Leza. End poem. I have to say, that was just absolutely a very entertaining story based on African mythology. So very cool there. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was a great read, Pam.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Martha, your thoughts?
Oh, I really liked it. I thought it was great. It was a really good story and had a good ending for some of them. And I thought it was really entertaining all the way through.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. I have to agree. It was entertaining all the way through. And what I really like about this is that, like any good story, it was entertaining. But like many stories from different cultures, such as the cultures of Africa, there's oftentimes a moral lesson to be learned. And here we have the lesson of that riches is not always found in gold and jewels and money. You know, but oftentimes it is found in the blessings of life and in that which grows from the ground, and that there are, you know, are consequences to our actions. That's the other lesson I get from this, is that, you know, there are consequences to our actions. You know, just a really great write and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
I thought this was a great tale told. It was well, yes, the word left me. I thought the description was great throughout. Definitely good imagery. And just really well done lines. So great job, that's for sure. I have to say that, CM Hal. Also, you have two callers on the line, Pam. First one is...
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, you only have one now. Okay, I believe this is Laurent. He must have decided to pop in. Hello. Is that you, Laurent?
Hello. Sorry to be so late.
Hey, Laurent. Mm-hmm. Glad you could join us.
Thank you.
How's it going?
It's going good. I had a family movie that I got talked into watching, that new Disney one, Nintendo, and got done a little later than I thought. So here I am.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Did you
Absolutely.
Get a chance to read Amethyst Moon Jade's poem?
Yeah, I did just in the last few minutes. It's a story that is fresh to me, yet as old as the land itself. Villages being literally raped for their wealth, for their food. But in this case, of course, it wasn't food they were after. They were after the money. So I was struck by the chieftain who said, the wealth of the village isn't in money. It's in the crops grown on the land, the fertility of our cattle and goats. We live under the blessings of our goddess Leza. We have no money. There have been some great movies and stories told over the years about such things. The Seven Samurai, for one. That Western. Damn it. It was based on the Seven Samurai, where the villages were constantly being plundered, not for their money, but for their crops, for their food. They recognized what true value was. So this has all kinds of connections for me into the past. I thought it was well written and very enjoyable.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let me see now. Martha, I have the next one up for you, ma'am.
Okay.
I just put it by Adlitz.
Okay. Shotgun Smile. Shotgun Smile. The night is black and awash with stars. Dripping mirrors reflect my shallow face. And the sky speaks out my name in remorse. Blame pricklings all of my fingertips. The blackened buildings crawl into the clouds. Their dark cement hands reach into orbit. Shadows like sentries circle their roofs as their windows look to the western dawn. The darkness gives birth in crimson rains to tears that leak like bloodied memories. Laugh in the dark with my shotgun smile. The metal tastes like how forgotten feels. Set in the dark beneath the lighthouse's spin, vertigo dancing behind my eyes. Watch the sparks fly into the night that is awash with stars, all in black and full.
Nicely done, Bobby. Nicely done, Martha.
Thank you.
Great read, Martha. And Laurent, let's start with your thoughts.
This thing is gorgeous. The night is black and awash with stars. Dripping mirrors reflect my swallowed face. I especially like the blackened buildings crawl into the clouds, their dark cement hands reaching to orbit. I can literally see in my mind's eye viewing buildings from a distance. And, of course, they reach to the sky. They're tall. And as the clouds come in, you have those blackened buildings crawling into the clouds. And it's a view of the world from, I guess, a lighthouse. And he ends it so beautiful. She ends it so beautifully. Vertigo dancing behind my eyes. Watch the sparks fly away into the night that is awash with the stars all in black. It's a wonderful vision, carefully rendered in four stanzas. Beautiful imagery, and I really enjoy the metaphors. Well done.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have to say that's what I think one of the wonderful things about going with a theme of the color black is that you can use it metaphorically to represent the darkness within ourselves, but also to represent the beauty of the darkness around us. You know, as you know, the beauty of the nighttime. You know, the beauty as you the dark waves of the ocean. I mean, there's just so much that can be done with it, and I have to agree. She's just done that all wonderfully here. This has a really nice flow to it. You know, it's almost as if it could be a rhyming poem, because the meter just seems very spot on. And I really was intrigued with this all the way through, but I have to say that the second and third stanza I found particularly appealing to me, you know, especially with that line, as shadows like sentries circle their roofs as their windows back look to the western dawn. Just really intriguing imagery. And Martha, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought this had a lusciousness to it. The metaphors were beautiful. You could almost see everything as she was describing it. And the one line that really stuck out for me was, the metal tastes like how forgotten feels. I think it was a really good poem.
Absolutely. And back to you, Jean.
Okie doke. Well, I thought this was a well-written piece, and I thought it was a great take on the prompt, the color black. I have to agree with Laurent. That last stanza was just really, really well done. Hey, and The other half of our last two calls has returned. So here's Bobby. Hi, Bobby. Welcome aboard.
Hey, Bobby. Glad you could join us. How's it going?
Yeah, me too. It's very well. Thank you very much for asking.
Absolutely.
Okay. Give me 2 seconds and I'll find a piece to put up. Let's see now. Yes, I think I'm going to put this next one up by Bartlebach. And I have an audio for this. So here we go.
Crossing Eternity. Stardate 224. Quehertut. Look into the darkness. Listen to the cosmic babble and know I am the light. The memory of words climb away at half our speed through quasi-lalic walls and virtual crystal window pane. Translucent and absorbent. My pulse hangs in palpable darkness. Light is light, as light dissolving. Drunk is my pen. My heart stretched out across the continuum of polished, marbled ink, bent jet black above this great galactic rim. Our last known point of plasmic origin. Eyeballs froze on Magellanic cloud. An open portal at the far end of our common room, stern to bow, pierces the permanent black dot. From our underworld, the dreaming earth, we slide in seismic slipstream, suspended on atomic string. Missioneers. Gone to meet our maker. Firstborn son. A particle is particle. Particle of energy. A thought. Thought to fill ferocious void. Darkness is all there is in the infinite shadow. Lifeless limbs devolving on the astral plane. Time is no arbiter here to haunt our heads. We are here, there, and everywhere. In the great dreaming. Dreaming.
Great reading right there, Barty. Thank you for the recording. It is very
we
much
are
appreciated.
As Dharma.
Oh,
here,
never mind. Yeah, I'm sorry.
There. And everywhere. Aesthete. So this is bliss. for bliss is the beauty of her face, etched in ageless congruence, exquisite. I touched the conscious icy pupil of her brilliant eye, the grand Virgilian plains of Andromeda, revolving spiral of orgasmic genesis, Gnostic ruler of men. Like stardust and feathers, exploding in perpetual flower, with unending grace, into the permeable night we pass. Night is night. Night is all that is now, is night. You and I, we are billion, locked in fetal coil, evolving in the navel of Milky Ways. My finger glows, I close my eyes, torn from the virile mass suspension. Forever as I am shall be. One tear, burning deep as a river, crossing eternity. Hear me now. Quiet still in this dark and mighty chamber. Listen to the endless raging buzz of cosmic matter, and know I am beyond the light, resolving. Stardate 223.64, Equero. I'm passing through, scribbling on the edge of sound, Plutonic heretics of the night, burning a hole in time. Can you not hear me now?
Wonderful read and write there. And my apologies for misjudging there. I tell you, this is philosophy and sci-fi blended together at its finest. And I'm looking forward to making a further comment on it, but I want to get other thoughts first. So, Bobby, let's start with you.
That was stunning. The visual imagery was absolutely stunning. It was ethereal. His pace and his delivery was very minimalist. I was reading down I called that one because I was reading his author's notes, which I encourage everyone to read because it really explains a lot about his piece. It almost had the feeling of some of the visuals from 2001, A Space Odyssey. It had that surreal feeling to it, and the adagio that he was playing in the background was a great touch. He reads so beautifully. His poetry, this was transcendent. This piece, I'm definitely going to keep and reread, because this is one of those pieces that requires, I think, several pass-throughs to really absorb everything that's been dedicated to. This is a very dense piece, very layered. Just a superb write.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you brought up that it had that kind of like surreal feel of the 2001 Space Odyssey, because it really did. And I'm also glad that you mentioned his AN, because I feel like anybody who reads Bartlebach's poetry, whether they're reading it because they're listening to it on one of our shows or they're just heading over to his page, always needs to check out his AANs, because he gives such wonderful attention to details in his author notes. So excellent observations there and comments, Bobby. And Martha, your thoughts?
I thought it was fascinating. I mean, you start reading it and you just can't stop. There's just so much there. It just blows the mind. He just did a really great job on it.
Oh, absolutely. You're right. It truly is a mind-blowing piece. So well said there. And Lauren, your thoughts?
Boy, oh boy. This right. It touches my soul. It's a work of genius and kind of leaves me a little speechless. It's as if the author had been shot into outer space in order to render images in verse that a camera could never capture. Now, this is an interesting proposition. It's been voiced in the past. Why aren't we sending poets and philosophers into outer space? And Elon Musk has a plan to send artists into outer space very soon in order to let them paint what they see. And in a way, that's exactly what Barty has done with this particular piece. He has somehow captured, he's somehow captured the inspiration, which must have been all-enveloping at the time to sit there and watch as these particular words poured out of his pen, or perhaps labored forth, I'm not sure which. But he has absolutely captured something with this piece that I think is really transcendent. At least that's the way I felt. And there are stanzas in here that are just absolutely gorgeous. Among them, I touched the conscious eye, pupil of a brilliant eye, the grand Virgilian plains of Andromeda, revolving spiral of orgasmic genesis, Gnostic ruler of men, like stardust and feathers, exploding in perpetual flower with unending grace into the permeable night, we pass. Bravo.
Oh, absolutely.
Just bravo.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. It is. It is. It's brilliant. It's beautiful. It really keeps, you know, your attention all the way through. And what I like is it's a wonderful that mixture of science and art. And those stanzas that you pointed out were absolutely stunning. And I really also liked, from our underworld, the dreaming earth, we slide in seismic slipstream suspended on atomic string. To me, this really, well, as I said, being a fresh take on a classic sci-fi theme, there's also, to me, kind of this whole idea of facing the eternity of creation while looking at the shortness of our own life, how there is only so much within our existence, that time in our existence that we have on Earth, but yet the cosmos themselves is a never-ending, fluctuating, representation of eternity. And I just thought this was absolutely beautifully written and very well done. And back to you, Jean.
Okay. Woo-hoo, Eugene. He's not here, fam. I'll have to get him next time. I thought this was an excellent piece by Bartlebach. I thought it was well-penned with great imagery and, a wonderful science fiction piece. Very well done. So thanks, Barty, for sharing with us all. Absolutely. Okay, Bobby, since you have to read and run, I'm going to put your piece up. So whenever you're ready.
Caught me with a mouthful of tea. Pull this up. I sit here and sip tea. Keeps me from doing other things. Okay, here we go. While we're on the subject of ANs, I did a fair amount of research for this piece. And so I would recommend, it's incumbent upon me to read the AN first, because it will explain a lot of what's going on in the piece. So I can do that, or I can leave it for afterwards. Your call, your host. What would you like me to do?
I think we can go ahead and read the AN on our own. And if there's any highlights you want to touch on after you're done reading your poem, that will be fine.
Ma'am, I can do that. I don't even need a reason. Okay. Lost in Lelouch. The sun is retired. Eventide descends. Blessed darkness, the dominion of the fairies. He seeks the barrel fairies, glowing emerald green. He strolls the streets of Le Vau Carré, his feet traveling the familiar Bourbon Street pavement to Jean Lafitte's and his nightly tryst with Lelouch. A familiar barman, Luke, he wanders up the stairs seeking his favorite balcony, the balcony that used to be their meeting place. She waits for him, waits at the table, his escort, his companion in the green hour each night. She waits, his guide within his verdigris dreams. He hopes tonight, as he does each night, that the Pontelier glass and the engraved silver Bruyere relieve the longing and the loneliness. For each evening, he would sit at this table across from his beautiful Marie, his beloved, his life, the angelic woman he would spend his eternities with. Destiny and yellow fever destroyed his dreams of their future. And now each night, wandering lost between two worlds, he seeks the radiant abyss in the aphrodisiac of the self. Green dreams are his refuge now, a bit of magic in a glass. Lost in Lelouch, the heavenly devil's broom in a beaker. He spends his nights in an exquisite hell of his own design. The dewy cold hits the absinthe. The alcohol's essential oils escape. Now Lelouch appears, a spontaneous, cloudy, opaline emulsion, awakening and welcoming the juices of which she is made. He gazes mesmerized at the bottle and the Pontelier glass, remembering the reflection of the glass in her absinthe eyes. He would lose himself in the rapture of those eyes, now gone. Imagines he hears a voice, so familiar, like a voice in a dream. The rustle of her gown, she swept across the floor to join him. Once the sweetest and gentlest of creatures, his heartbreak is complete. Now he gazes at the blue blossom that arises from the sugar and the absinthe, the light in the blue inferno, his private hell in a glass, a rare incandescent spirit passing through every shade of opal. And the consecrated liquor becomes his liberation, his deliverance. Same instant brings joy to his head, indulgence to his heart. Before, one of New Orleans' artistic luminaries, now simply a lonely man. Another night immersing the pain in the enigmatic Viridian elixir. Another night of watching the alchemy. Fire, other shades of malachite, jade into opal. Amid the banal, inconsequential comings and goings of the masses, he watches the flow of humanity on the streets below and sighs wearily as the patient absinthe waits for him to lose himself yet again in the ritual of Lelouch. And poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Bobby. Mm. I have to say, I am really glad that I was able to be on the show and to hear you read that. Since, you know, like as you said, mentioned, it didn't get done before the Wednesday show. And I have to tell you, as I read this, even before I had gotten to your AN, I knew you had done your research. You know, I like that you place this in New Orleans because, as you know, the French brought their love there of absinthe to New Orleans, and so it became a very popular drink there. And what I like is that you give us facts of, in history, in actual existing parts of New Orleans, and make it into a very emotional, highly impactful story of a man who's trying to drown out the memory of love. And what I also really like here is that you weave together the idea of using the process of making the absinthe, not making it, but preparing the absinthe, as almost like an extended metaphor for him trying to focus on anything besides her. I really like this all the way through. And it was wonderful storytelling. I really like she waits for him, waits at the table, his escort, his companion in the green hour each night. To me, those lines had wonderful personification of the absinthe itself. And the dewy coal hits the absinthe, the alcohol's essential oils escape. Now LaLouche appears, a spontaneous cloudy opaline emulsion. I like the way you describe the process in such a way that it's mesmerizing, awakening and welcoming the juices of which she is made. Wonderful sensual illusion and metaphor there in that line, and just absolutely very well done. And
thank you very much.
You're welcome. And Martha, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. It's beautifully sad the way it tells the story of the man's heartbreak and the way he chooses to deal with it by drowning it in the absinthe. It was a really wonderful story. Great poem.
Thank you, Martha.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Laurent, your thoughts?
And the consecrated liquor becomes his liberation, his deliverance. In the same instant brings joy to his head, indulgence to his heart. Before, one of New Orleans' artistic luminaries, now simply a lonely man. I thought that Bobby brought the mystery of this liquid forward, its effects liberating to the senses, freeing one of chains that bind, reflecting a truth on the sometimes fierce banality of life and its corresponding sorrows of love. I thought it was very well wrought.
You're very much wrong.
Absolutely. And is there anything that you wanted to say about your poem?
I was thinking of going in the direction that one of the other authors did in talking about some of the notable celebrities and artistic personages that indulged in it. But I found myself, when I started writing, getting involved in this individual and his sorrows. I don't know. It took on a life of its own. And when I started doing the research and reading about New Orleans and LaLouche, and the fact that Joan Lafitte is still there, has been there since 1807. I don't know, all the details came together and gave me an irresistible story that I had to follow to the end.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you always have to follow the trail that the muse leads you down. That's what I say. So, well, thank you. Thank you so much for calling in and reading that. Very much appreciated. And up next, we have Deadly Spring by Brian T. Duffield. And Lauren, would you give that a read for us, please?
Happy to. Deadly Spring. The hardened ground was dressed in stones agleam, where winter's touch had left a frozen deck. Yet verdant leaves had broken ground extreme. The creamy plumes of snowdrops stood erect. In tightened buds, like pleated silken heads, releasing scent that barely taints the air, as spring and labored work receives their beds, like pearls and strings display their starry glare. But season songs return by life's discord, then fracture space and sound a darkened tone. This anthem strums a tragic, doleful chord as nature welcomes back Persephone. When April's cruel tubers labor earth, a dreaded loss has wilted our rebirth. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Lawrence, and such a beautiful write by Brian T. Duffield. And Martha, your thoughts on this lovely poem?
I thought it was wonderful. It was such great manifest poise, and you could almost see everything. It was really beautiful. You couldn't stop reading it. I really liked it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, I have to agree. You know, first of all, I mean, I just really beautiful rhyme and flow here. I always enjoy anything that mentions mythology, and I like the nod to the goddess of spring, Persephone. And to me, what I particularly like about this is, and you can tell right away from the title, Deadly Spring, and the opening line, the hardened ground was dressed in stones agleam, is this isn't a gentle, peaceful image of spring. This reminds us that the beginning of spring is cold. The ground is still partially frozen. You know, so much is still barren. And through all of that, through the cold air, through the frozen ground, comes those first glimpses of life. And so to me, this works really well as a poem with wonderful imagery, but also as an extended metaphor for how oftentimes, in order to grow, we have to put ourselves in some really, or we have to be planted in some really tough ground. You know, I really liked this all the way through, but especially that second and third stanza, you know, and but season songs return by life's discord, and then fracture space and sound a darkened tone. But, you know, people, you know, dismiss snow all the time, quite often. I mean, I'm not a big fan of it either, but when you have winters that have less snowfall, you have less moisture in the spring, which makes it more difficult for growing. So it is that winter time, that those extra layers of snow that add to the opportunity for this new life to blossom. So just a beautiful write and very well done. And Lawrence, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
In tightened buds like pleated silken heads, releasing scent that barely taints the air, as spring and labored work recedes their beds, like pearls and strings display their starry glare. The rhyme and the meter in this poem are flawless. The imagery timeless, as are the seasons, whether they be cruel or forgiving. And yes, spring needs snow, it needs cold. Many times it's a trigger for new life to begin. And new life does manage to escape the cruelty of winter, if you will, and blossom soft and gentle and fragrant, as always, beautifully done.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. And is Bobby still with us?
Still here. I'm going to hang until midnight, and then I'm going to turn into a pumpkin and roll down.
All right. Sounds good to me. And your thoughts on this lovely poem?
Oh, I agree with Laurent. The rhyme and meter is flawless. He is hit iambic pentameter right dead on. I like the way he's approached it. First, when I saw the title "Deadly Spring," it reminded me of the book "Silent Spring" by Rachel Carson, and I was wondering if he was going to go in that same direction. But he does, he reminds us that it does start in the cold. It requires the cold. I love the way he transitions, but Seasoned Song, retuned by life's discord, then fracture space and sound a darkened tone. This anthem strums a tragic, doleful chord as nature welcomes back Persephone. I really like that he brought in the mythology and the fact that when spring begins, according to mythology, when Persephone returns to the surface from the underworld. This is a beautiful sonnet, really well done.
It truly is. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. And, all right. And, let's see. And, Jean, I know you're doing a treatment. And but if you have a link you'd like to put up. Oh.
Yeah, I have the next one lined up for you, Pam. This is by Becky Upchurch. And if you would be so kind as to read that, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be happy to. The Dance of Day by Becky Upchurch, and it goes like this. Evening at its beginning, when the sun hugs its earth, I look at day much the same way, with swirling thoughts of mirth. Days come and go. I'm left with no choice, choosing smiles over frowns. Mirth is rare, but I keep it there. In a swirling white gown. Evening sun, call it a day, I too will do the same. Jointly may we dream of courtship, a king and you, grand dame. Let us dance in robes properly, royal colors we sway. Then at dusk you depart, most brusque, I to bed in moon ray. End poem. Oh, that is absolutely lovely. I am just such a big fan of Becky Upchurch's poetry. She's just very talented. And Bobby, your thoughts?
You read it beautifully. This is so full of rich visual imagery. Evening at its beginning, when the sun hugs its earth, the first two lines are just the beautiful. It almost personifies the celestial bodies, and I like the way she transitions from the time of the day to evening sun, call it a day. I too will do the same. Jointly may we dream of courtship, and the way she's joined her day to the day to the sun's routine. It is a beautifully written piece.
It truly is. Well said there. And Lawrence, your thoughts?
Yes. The evening at its beginning, when the sun hugs its earth, I look at day much the same way, with swirling thoughts of mirth. I think all of us at some point towards evening, as the sun descends, tend to look at days pretty much the same way, but they're not all the same. Days come and go. I'm left with choice, choosing smiles over frowns. And that is, to me, a great statement, because that's a choice that we make. And given that, the connection that we have with the sun, with the moon, is very well presented and lets us experience those thoughts through her verse, which she sets forth beautifully.
Oh, absolutely. I like that you brought up the part where, you know, that mentions that we all have a choice on how we choose to, you know, see every day or accept every day and find something beyond the monotony. So great observations there, Lawrence. And Martha, your thoughts?
I think it was great. I like the love, the way they took the day and transformed it into the evening and then the night. I thought it was really wonderful light and very well done.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely well said there. Yeah, I thought this was beautiful, too. A really nice rhyme pattern to it. I like that she voices that connection between ourselves and the sun and the moon, and how she writes on the passing of time, but she writes on it as something that is a blessing, something to be, you know, embraced. That, like, as says, days come and go, I'm left with choice, choosing smiles over frowns. You know, just absolutely a wonderful, heartfelt write and very well done. And what do you got for us next, Jean?
Okay, let me see. Yes, Martha, can I get you to read the next one, please? I'll just put it up
sure.
on the board. Thank you.
Seductus absent, intoxicating, allured by sweet enchantment, swirling in his lips. Emerald-eyed goddess, luscious, juicy, cherry twist, twirling towards madness. Intriguingly high, fantasies dance in his mind. Vicious, filthy thoughts, gripping her soft curves. Voluptuous midnight star, shimmering golden, flesh pressing in waves, naked, so vulnerable, you're her helpless prey, seduced by absence, dig deeply in her ocean, tainted by her sin, with neon rainbows, finest clear flowing nectar, sultry pink champagne, tangled up in silks, addictively erotic, addictive bubbly, swallowing all down, intrigued by insanity, lost within her sea.
Wonderful read there, Martha, and just a stunning sensual write by Betty Page. I really like the way she plays with imagery. And Lawrence, your thoughts?
I really appreciate the writing, and that's the presentation of a seductive goddess, the metaphor absinthe, and the ways in which we can lose ourselves in a lover, because make no mistake about it, the absinthe is presented as the lover, the emerald-eyed goddess, luscious, juicy cherry kiss, twirling towards madness, intriguingly high, again, pressing forward the myths about absinthe, and the way we can be seduced by it. And the last stanza especially ties it up, swallowing all down, intrigued by insanity, lost within her seat. You're yielding yourself completely to the liquid, completely to this goddess encapsulated in glass. Beautifully done.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree. And, I always enjoy Betty's poetry, but I think this has to be one of my favorite by her. I really felt like she captured the idea of absinthe as a lover, or representing a lover, or the lover representing the absinthe itself. I really like gripping her soft curves, voluptuous midnight star, shimmering golden. Yeah, and she has this way of putting imagery together that you wouldn't think of putting together, like voluptuous midnight star and finest clear flowing nectar, sultry pink champagne is just absolutely delightful. And I like because she also throws in that bit of darkness that you would expect in a sensual absinthe light. Flesh pressing in wave, naked, so vulnerable, you're her helpless prey. Just a wonderful right there and very well done. And Bobby, your thoughts?
It appears Bobby dropped him.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Bobby. Very much appreciated. And Martha, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
I thought it was a wonderful write of I took it as a man that just totally given in to the allure of the drink and what it does to him to help him escape real life so that he can get lost in the absinthe. And it's a beautiful rite of a not so beautiful action. I thought it was really well done.
Oh, absolutely. Well said there. And back to you, Phil.
Okay. Well, I thought Betty did a wonderful write here. Great imagery and creative tale told all the way through. So I enjoyed it. Thanks, Betty. Sorry, I had to kind of pull my act together. Okay. Lorraine, I have a piece for you to read next, if you don't mind.
Not at all. Excuse me. All right, this is called A Moment by C.L. Howard. In the old green wood near my home, one day while I was quite alone, I sat upon an ancient mossy rock. And as day surrendered to the night, its lonely beams of broken light shined upon the forest floor below. The tranquil air within the still bore no sound, no shriek or shrill, nothing but the silence of the gloam. Then suddenly the woodlands hummed, feathered hands on stale winds drummed, and shadows danced within the scattered light. Spellbound by what might impend, I watched the mighty form descend to light upon a weathered oaken stump. A single beam of evening's end enveloped the golden frame herein, an eagle stretching mighty wings aloft. For a moment, it seemed time stood still, as every truth became surreal, and all that I could do was simply watch. Before the beams of light could fade, he leapt into the forest glade, thundering past the trees into the dark. I listened as his wings beat down the shadow winds of Greenwood's crown until silence once again reclaimed its place. For quite some time I sat alone to let the moment's seed be sown deep within the holdings of my thoughts. Now many years have long since passed, the woods replaced by human cast, both eagle and the wind have gone away. But to this day, I'll embrace the whim, when the sun is low and its light grows dim, to walk into some long forgotten place. There I'll sit within my manse, white light and shadows in silence dance, listening for the beating of that drum. Perhaps one day he'll find his way back to a wood both green and fey, where the sun is lighting down upon a stump. And as he lands, his wings astride, he'll stare across that wild divide to look upon this old, familiar face. When at last the sunlight fades and day surrenders to evening shades, the moment that we shared will have gone. We both will rise without a word, knowing well that each was heard at our meeting in the ether at the ending of the day. End poem.
Wonderful read there. I have to say, this is just absolutely a beautiful write. I just had to pin this onto one of my boards to, you know, just share it or save it for later to look at it again. And Martha, your thoughts on this poem?
Oh, I thought it was beautiful, the imagery and the metaphors and the way you took the sighting of an eagle and turned it into something that was just breathtaking. I thought it was wonderfully done and a beautiful poem.
It truly is. It truly is. Well said there. Yeah, he says in the end this is actually based on a true story. He says it happened 30 years ago, or at least 30 years from the time that this poem was written, which was only 3 months ago. And, you know, to me, I could just be always remembering a poem, not a poem, well, I can see always remembering a poem like this, but I can always see remembering a moment like that. Now, on a technical level, I have to say, you know, you don't see three-line rhyming poems too often. I think this has a very neat, precise feel to it. I thought it really just grabs and keeps your attention. And what I like about this is it's beautiful, it's meditative, it's got wonderful imagery all the way through. And I felt like there was this kind of, like this really strong sense of communication with nature, of this kind of like open-mindedness and oneness that comes of being caught up in a personal moment of nature. Yeah, and just a beautiful write and very well done. And Lawrence, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the well, I call him Mon Dieu, quelle histoire. Good Lord, what a story. It's hypnotic rhythm, flawless, natural rhyming, and the quiet creep of images that flow so well, each after the other. Now, there's a powerful force in these words, but it's without bombast, just allowing us to share in the moment that he experienced all those years ago. Outstanding piece.
It truly is. Well said there. And back to you, Phil.
Okay. Let's see. First off, I want to let you know. Hi, Lou. We picked up Lou. And
hi, everybody.
Hi, Lou. Hi. It's good to have you.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Hi,
Ron.
Hey, how's
Dan.
It going?
Hey, Phil. It's going.
I get that.
Going.
Got to grease the wheels every once in a while.
Oh, yes. Definitely. Did you get a chance to read or to hear CL's poem?
Well, I did hear the ending of it. It was beautifully read, for one thing. And, you know, it is something that when we go out into nature and we see something and we connect with it, we connect with the Creator Spirit, it lifts our hearts. And the beauty of being in nature where we feel like we are one, like where he says right here, and then suddenly the woodlands hummed. Feather hands on sail winds drummed, and the shadow danced with the scattered light. The beauty of nature that sings and speaks to us. This is gorgeous.
It truly is, mm-hmm. And you're right. There's those moments that nature speaks to us for sure, plenty of them. And all right, and back to you, Jean.
Okay, Doke. Well, I thought this was an incredibly penned piece by C.L. Howard. There's a lot of powerful imagery throughout, and just a wonderful piece, Theo, and I very much enjoyed it. So thanks for sharing with us. Okay. Pam, I have the next one for you. Yes. Like, no. You read right before Laurent, right? Wait. You read right before Laurent. Yeah.
No, Martha did.
Okay, then this one's for you. Sorry, got a little lost.
All right. This is From Where I've Been Led by Bonanza Cherry. And hold on, let me get my eyes a little closer. And it goes like this. I have peered through dust and windows and found my ghosts of self and segregate and of intended maps. I had thought to follow them precisely, had thought to live wisely, had thought to live so purely that as snowflakes fell and found my lashes, I believed they would not run away. As I closed my eyes for dream and being, for finding pleasures far beyond any suffering, those luxuries of fleeting existence held no permanence in my view. Now my gaze, through dirty frame, catches a glimpse of my infancy and marvels at its comforts. And in my ears, a rocking chair creaking and the riotous sound of cicada summer buzz howl. If I only could, only know how, what I did know then, and still not find warning in their call. I think then my direction, a magnetic north of stillness and self, might be exactly the way to what I've been looking for. End poem. I have to say, that is just a beautiful and very thoughtful write. And Lou, your thoughts?
Well, you did a wonderful job in reading it. What I really liked about this poem is how she starts looking at her surroundings. And what ends up happening is that she falls in through it. And when she falls in through it, she looks at herself from the inside and the things that have happened in the past and where she's at now. You know, and, you know, think about it. How many times have we not kicked ourselves in the rump for going, you know, golly, I shouldn't have done that. You know, or I knew better, or mama told me, or somebody told me. But when we do self-reflection, sometimes that is where we find the answer. I really like this poem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree with you, and you're right. It is oftentimes by self-reflection that we are able to find the answers that we need. So very well said there. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, the entire premise of looking backwards through dusted windows and viewing the ghosts of yourself from years ago, I thought was absolutely fascinating. And the thought of I had to follow them precisely, I thought to live wisely, I thought to live so purely, and of course, that is not necessarily what happens. And now she catches herself in the grip of those memories. And now my gaze through dirty frame catches a glimpse of my infancy and marvels at its comfort. The past in many ways was comfortable, but we didn't know it. You know, and there is that everlasting regret of not knowing now what you should have, and being a little bit remorseful for it, perhaps. At any rate, I thought it was beautifully written and really captures something of the spirit, because we all look back and we all think, what if, or, you know, and so it's so entirely relatable, but beautifully written.
It really is. As you said, it's relatable. It has that feeling of remorse is captured very well in it. So great observations there. And Martha, your thoughts?
Oh, that's a great poem of looking back and seeing things that you wish you could have changed and done differently and deciding to do better in the future. I really liked that. It was well done.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, I really liked her choice of imagery. I thought this was powerful. I thought it was emotive. I liked how there were certain images in here, like the dirty frame, the rocking chair, the buzzing and howling, you know, so much of this made me think of seeing yourself as a haunted house. Like it comes across to me as, you know, being haunted yourself by those memories, by those regrets. And, you know, I like how she not only puts it in here imagery, but the whole, the noises as well, such as the creaking, the howling, you know, it all just really adds to the atmosphere of the piece. I thought it was very well done. And back to you, Phil.
My okey-dokey. Let me see what I have here. Lou, dear.
Mm-hmm.
I have a piece to read, if you don't mind.
Okay. I'll be happy to read this. This is titled You and I by Esama Shiba. Every love story is a legend, a miracle which has never happened before. Making dreams come true, seeing the wonders it can do when now becomes forever. Together we travel through seasons of monsoon for a million ands, painted thousands of words that poets love to draw upon the face of the moon in the limelight. This closing would steep inside, opening like a rose petal by petal, keeping the mystery alive, living in each other all along, you and I. End poem.
Beautiful read, nice. Darylu. I tell you, it is always such a treat to get a write by Isama. She is such a talented poetess. And Lawrence, your thoughts?
Well, she absolutely took the quote from E. E. Cummings and ran the full length of the field with it, scoring a touchdown. Just a beautiful, beautiful continuation of a look at love stories being a legend, because each one is absolutely different. Oh, they may be the same within the general arc of the story, but the individual details create something which, as she says, is a miracle, which has never happened before. As usual, Osama just does a great job with her piece, and I really enjoyed this one.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Martha, your thoughts?
Well, it was a great poem of a wonderful, never-ending love. I thought it was really well done.
It truly was. Well said there. And Lou, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. What I loved about this is how she goes into a long-term relationship. You know, she says that when you fall in love, you know, it's never happened before, which is true because you've met that person for the first time. You're two different people. But what I like about this is how they blended their lives together through monsoons. And we know what monsoons are, those terrible storms of flooding, through the troubles, basically what I took it. And those, you know, and when you're with somebody like that, you blend your personalities, you know, and I thought that was beautiful because you've been living in each other all along, and that's what happens in a long-term relationship. It's the blending of the love of each other. This was absolutely stunning and beautiful. I loved it.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree with you that it's wonderful that she wrote on those long-term relationships, that long-term love where you do, you know, become parts of each other. And what I really liked about this is, you know, that it had such lovely imagery and that she captured that journey of love travel, you know, that she captured the journey of two people connecting and becoming one. And I really liked this all the way through, but especially the second stanza was particularly beautiful to me. And this was very well done. And back to you, Phil.
Okie dokie. Thank you so much. Well, I have to say, Osama, I thought this was lovely work, as always. Wonderful imagery and thoughts throughout. Just really, really well done. Beautiful. So thanks for sharing with us. Okay, for my next magic trick, let me put up a piece by Buddha. She chuckles. It is magic, Lou. It's magic.
I can read between the lines and feel the bold winter cold. In the bluster heaves a sigh again and again. I can listen to your lies, not my head and my pretend, but I know the truth resides in the wrath of northern wind. How I wish that it could be what it was if it were real. All those times I spent with you is an honest appeal. But I know the game is played to the as the winner takes the spoil over and over again, so it never ends. Yes, it never ends, but you can win. So you leave behind a wake where I ride until I drown, an emotional undertow that pulls me deeper down, till the light is all but gone and the darkness sighs aloud to carry me in chaos in an all-ensnaring shroud. So it never ends, yes it never ends, when you can win. So it never ends, yes it never ends, with no letters to send.
Nice job.
Wow.
Absolutely wonderful there, Udo. Thank you for the song and the recording. Very much appreciated. I tell you, that man is a powerhouse of talent. And Martha, your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was a beautiful, beautiful song. The music was great. It was a great performance. And the message was kind of sad, but it was a really good performance. I really liked it.
Oh, absolutely. Well said there. And Lou, your thoughts?
Now, this actually made tears well up in my eyes. You know, at times we lose ourselves because we don't want to accept what's in front of us. So we quiet trust when trust is broken. And it says, then, you know, what are we left with? We're left with love and that dagger in our heart. It's just something, you don't forget when somebody hurts you this bad. So, you know, just like where he says, so you leave behind a wake where I write until I drown an emotional undertow that pulls me deeper down. And, you know, if you've ever gone through something like this, you understand, you know, you just really can't even sleep because of the pain of trusting this person when you shouldn't have trusted them, and then you just let it go until it's just too late.
Oh, absolutely.
Excellent.
Absolutely. Very well said there. And Lawrence, your thoughts?
Yeah, very moving piece. I love the lyricism of it. I love the way it was sung. And the meaning, so it never ends. Yes, it never ends when you can't win. For some reason, really cut me. But then I would take this stanza and put it at the end as well. So the light is all but gone, and the darkness sighs aloud to carry me in chaos in an all-ensnaring shroud. Beautifully done.
It truly is, and you're right. That one stanza you brought up really is just a strong stanza, and this whole thing is. It is beautifully written, and I like that it has that feeling of no longer being willing to play the game of walking away, you know, because as Lou mentioned, your trust has been broken. You know, you can never believe in that person again, and you just have to walk away and not be willing to keep playing the same games over and over. So wonderful write and very well done. And what do you got for us next, Gene?
Let me see. Anyway, I thought that was a great piece by Budo. you know, I thought it was very sad, and I said, you know, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade, and I said the piece was truly lemonade. You know, really a wonderful job with that. The next piece I have up is Martha Gettles, and let me hit the button on that one. Here we go.
In My Rearview Mirror by Martha Gettles. I'm leaving you walking out the door. It's plain to see you're not mine anymore. The love that once got me through my day, I have watched that love slip away. You don't kiss and hold me like you did, and there's so much for me you keep hid. My heart's been slowly breaking, you know, and I think the time has come for me to go. Now that I'm putting you in my rearview mirror, thoughts in my head are getting much clearer. The haze that I was living in is clearer now. I'm on the road again. When you get home, you'll find I'm gone. Though I doubt you'll miss me for long. You built a life that doesn't include me, and it's time for me to set myself free. Now that I'm putting you in my rearview mirror, thoughts in my head are getting much clearer. The haze that I was living in is clearer now. I'm on the road again. I'm done playing second fiddle to your new love. I'm heading out to find the things that I dream of. I'm leaving you. I'm not looking back. My future's waiting. I'm heading toward that.
Nice job.
Wonderful
Martha.
Song there, Martha. Thank you for the recording. It's very much appreciated. I really enjoyed the attitude of this song. I like how it's someone who's decided they've had enough of not being loved as much as they love, that it's the idea of someone, you know, who's saying, you know what, these are my limits. I'm no longer putting up with this. To me, my particularly favorite part were the chorus, because I especially like that line, the first couple lines in that, that now that I'm putting you in my rearview mirror, thoughts in my head are getting much clearer. Sometimes the farther away we step from a situation, the more clearly we can see things. And I also like those end lines. My future's waiting, I'm heading towards that. Realizing that we have the opportunity to build a new life for ourselves. A wonderful line there and very well done. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Well, as ever, we share the same feelings on this. I tell you, Martha's the mistress of lost love that fights back with independence and direction. I'm done playing second fiddle to your new love. I'm heading out to find the things that I dream of. I'm leaving you. I'm not looking back. My future's waiting. I'm heading toward that. Very enjoyable share.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, Martha, I thought this was well done. I thought it was wise words, well spoken. You know, too many times people don't know when to say, you know what, it's time for me to take a walk. It's time for me to remove myself from the situation. And I think that, you know, you did that and you did it well here. You know, you weren't mean or nothing. It was a good job. So nice.
Absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely. And what do you got for us next?
I don't know. I think I got something. I think I do. Yeah, yes, I do. Okay, Laurent, I have your piece up next.
All right, this is called Ungainly Children. I've always felt that history flows through my veins, a nexus rooted in fear and anger, in triumph and glory, sadness and joy. We war, we love, split into many pieces of flesh, each with its own instinct for viability, followed blindly through an ultimate peril, threatening existence. Are we a perversion of our past, an example of a norm that's crept up on our blind side, born of a heritage with all its storms and summer zephyrs, pulled towards heaven, headed for hell? Each day rings a bell, its peal born of old combustibles, embers banked until present day, and they burst into flame, searing flesh off our very backs. We burn, melting into earth, unaware and blind to the pain which will kill us. I hear the bell daily, drawn backwards in time to the strike of a mighty hammer against an eternal resonance. Our old narrative vibrates, alive again. Listen, then. See the future born of a legacy. Read the signs. Beware the footsteps that lead over a cliff onto a trail of air, where gravity holds sway, the path most travel. Take the turning at the fork. Venture into the past to reach the future. The way is laid before us, open, if we can only rip the caul from our eyes and finally see with clarity the future's womb, which sprawls such ungainly children. End poem.
Wonderful reading right there, Lawrence. And Martha, your thoughts on this poem?
Oh, I love it. I think it was just beautiful. The message is wonderful, and it was so powerfully presented. It just was breathtaking. I thought it was wonderful, guys.
Absolutely. And well said there, Martha. And I have to say, this is powerful. It's hard-hitting. It takes a look at life, at love, at the way, so oftentimes, to me anyways, it takes a look at how oftentimes, the family tragedies, not tragedies, but, the darkness within families passed from one generation to a next. And then it also takes a look at how sometimes it feels as if tragedy just follows us. Listen then, see the future born of a legacy, read the signs, beware the footprints that lead over a cliff onto a trail of air. I really like that in the whole idea of, pay attention to where your steps go. Pay attention to the warning signs. Life is filled with warning signs. History is filled with warning signs. We really need to, open our eyes and see them there before us, before we destroy ourselves. So really just a compelling rite all the way through, Lawrence, and very well done.
Thank you, Pat.
And are you back with us, Lou?
Yes, I am. what I love about poetry is that each of us sees something different. That we get a different view or a different, avenue. And for me, it was, are we locked into our past? One thing that is our heritage that we fall into, or do we build a new path or let the path be our weighted, like a cloak or a coat? We can learn if we choose. I don't know if that's what Laurent was saying, but I would like to know what inspired this rite, because I am curious.
Well, it's that old saw. It's the scene of the future. You have to look into the past, because we repeat our mistakes endlessly. And if those who pay attention to where we have been know how to get to where they want to go. I mean, if you have a company that tried out an idea, say, in any given year, and it failed miserably, and 10 or 15 years passed, and another bright boy said, hey, let's try this. And somebody said, yeah. And they try it, and it fails miserably. Well, if they had bothered to look backwards a little bit, they would have seen that that is not a good idea. But we repeat that mistake all the time. So, you know, I see this country, I see where it's headed, and I even look at individual lives, as you said, Pam, the both together. And, you know, we need to look backwards, see what our mistakes were, and try not to repeat them, otherwise fear them.
So true.
Absolutely. And that was a great question to ask, Lou, and thank you, Lauren. I'm glad you shared that with us. And Jean, back to you.
Okay. Well, that was a great piece, Laurent. Very well done. I pulled one of the stanzas from it, to see the future born of a legacy. Read the signs. Beware the footsteps that lead over a cliff onto a trail of air where gravity holds sway, the path most traveled. I like that. I like that stanza very much. And then I love the closing lines. You know, I thought they were awesome. So really very well done.
Thank you.
I feel like, no problem. Now, who else has a piece on the board? Pam, do you have one up here?
I do not.
Okay, Lou, do you have one up here?
No, ma'am.
I didn't see one. Okay, just checking. Okay, let me okay, here we go. Now I know where I'm at. Well, sitting in my chair right here in my little room. Here we go. This one's by Christian Coley, and I have a SoundCloud for this. So let me push that button.
Seduction Stereo. Seduction Stereo, subtle, sensuality station, open sesame, coax, caress, conjugal creation, energetic emergence, exudes, elation, magnetism, polyamorous prism, manifestation. Lovers fervently embrace, soft sweet face, eyes, ears, nose, pure perfection, passion, touching, twisting, thrashing, throws. Perfect match, forever attach, eternal, chose. Church bells ring, herald angels sing, ethereal, echoes. Fragrant red rose, squall, summer snows, impossibly rare. Magical moments, lasting love foments, success, share. Engage, fears assuage, together, turn page, combine, care. Dawning day, darkness, LA, anytime, anywhere. Time stands still, perpetuity, you with me, will collide. Up, down, run all around, lost, found, roller coaster ride. Willing, thrilling, warm weather, tempestuous, storm inside. Divine destiny, one, meant to be, never denied.
Wonderful reading right there by Christian. I just have to say, absolutely beautiful phrasing. And Laurent, your thoughts.
Thank you. Among the many things that I like about this piece is his use of multiple phrasings within a line. So rather than establish what might be construed as, you know, a proper sentence, he strips away everything but the words that are essential to the image he wants to offer. And I'm not going to pick out any particular thing because it kind of hits you after you read the entire thing. Well, you know, energetic emergence, exudes elation, magnetism, polyamorous prism, manifestation. In addition to the message, you have a complexity and an ease of complexity with a rhyme, which is quite intricate if you actually look at it. I think this is a great piece.
Absolutely, and I have to agree with you about the intricacy of the verse. It is stunning. And Martha, your thoughts?
I thought it was beautiful. I love the imagery and the metaphors. It was just gorgeous all the way through. Beautifully done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I thought he had wonderful alliteration in this, wonderful rhyme. To me, I like how the imagery is romantic without necessarily, like, it's open to interpretation, and yet you can feel the romance in it. To me, I felt like the imagery spoke really strongly on intimacy, the connection between two people as you know, they live the ups and downs of a life together. Just really beautifully written and very well done. And Lou, your thoughts?
Well, I thought this was beautifully penned, very sensual, especially where in the second stanza, that was my favorite. Love fervently embraces soft, sweet face, eyes, ears, nose. It's just that, you know, to me, I just had that image in my mind where he's touching and kissing her face, her ears, which is very sensual, her, you know, her nose. And he says that he finds pure perfection in passion, touching, twisting, thrashing throes, the perfect match, forever attached, eternal close. That connection that you have with your love and the commitment that you're making to this one person, even where he says here, you know, he marries her, church bells ring, herald angels sing, ethereal echoes. So those echoes of love are something that you can give every day to that person that you're involved with. This is gorgeous.
Absolutely. Well said there. And back to you, Phil.
Okay, well, I thought that was a great piece written for the contest, Seduction Stereo, another group written to them, and nicely done. So thank you, Chris, for sharing that with us. Okay, Laurent, can I get you to read the next one, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
This is called Manifest by Chris Barbieri. Beauty engrosses an inner eye, exists solely within our minds. Retrospective webs of artistry, ingenuity falsely perceived, fabricated, dulling reality, cultured by all our embedded lies. Imperfection left at passing, molded at gasping breath of birth. Stage of life holds no auditions, plot twisted are each their own. Substance takes on complication, when realized in ignorance we are grown. Moments past unappreciated, moments never truthfully lived, pushed behind selective reflection. Imagination controls your direction. Anxious existences diminishes inner light. Manifestation is the vibration of your life. End poem.
Great read there, Lawrence, and what a wonderful thought-provoking write by Chris Barbieri. This is very well done. And Lou, your thoughts?
Well, Laurent did a fantastic job in reading this poem. You know, for me, this poem was about us, you know, about our lives, how we see with our inner eyes and minds. You know, and sometimes what we see isn't always the reality. And so what happens is that sometimes when we lie to ourselves, things become complicated, you know, and, you know, sometimes we realize we haven't, you know, kind of like what Laurent was talking about earlier, that we haven't learned from our past. So, you know, we get hurt. You know, I really thought this was a fantastic emotional expression.
Yes, absolutely. I have to agree. Well said there. And Martha, your thoughts?
Well, it was really wonderful. A poem of looking and only seeing what you want to see and living what your imagination feeds you instead of living in reality. I thought it was beautifully well done.
Yes, absolutely. And Lawrence, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Yes, life is really filled with moments. And sometimes we brush up against a moment and then immediately wander away from it. As the poet says, moments passed unappreciated, moments never truthfully lived, pushed behind selective reflection. Imagination controls your direction. Sometimes if we just let that moment happen, that moment manifest, take its breath, and allow it to live a little, it could become something that's pretty formidable, pretty fantastic for you. So, yes, let the moments manifest.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, yeah, I thought this was a stunning write all the way through, but I was especially drawn to that end stanza with the idea of the moments that pass and appreciate it, and how oftentimes, you know, to me it kind of spoke on the idea of we become our own thoughts, our own actions, and just really great write and very well done. And what do you got for us next, Phil?
The next one I have is by Eric Svensson. And let me hit the button on that one. Here we go.
Dream theater. Dragonfly adroit. I dart to and fro. Copulate with reality. Dream theater aerial display of note. 61 year. Masked pantomime has ensued. Villain and victim, rogue and regent, personas palpable and plausible. Intermission. Wayward whims and disconcerted wishes. Faithful sun uplights by day. Seductress moon downlights by night. Tragedy whitewashed with comedy. Round peg seeks out square holes. Coy clown face embossed with opal tear. Dragonfly adroit, we dance to and fro. Dream theater dances extraordinaire. Theater of the mind, we constantly touch stone, bounce off each other, create scripts to entice and propel. Life's mask, Mardi Gras, not to be missed. 7 billion dragonflies or more daily copulate with duality's rigorous reality. Swift lift, tenacious tilt, instant change of direction. Dragonfly astute, we adapt or die. Water molecules in a symphonic cosmic overture. We choreograph to quickstep, cha-cha, and waltz. Dragonfly, oh dragonfly, forever and a day, teach us to be adept, rely on more than our inept egos. Intermission. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for us, and we're feeling good. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Eric. Just absolutely a favorite of mine, of his. And, you know, the imagery is wonderful. It's delightful. I like that it gives us the opportunity to observe and learn a lesson from the dragonfly. So I thought this was very well done. And Lou, your thoughts?
Well, that is the first time I heard Eric read. He has a fantastic voice for reading poetry. I never heard him before.
Does.
And I, what I love was the imagery throughout this. I see that it was written for one of your contests, and I thought he did a fantastic job. I would have, you know, I would not have thought of some of these things. You know, I liked where, you know, he talked about, you know, how we can be seduced by the night. But what I really liked, you know, going further down was, you know, just like nature adapts to whatever is going on their lives, you know, whether, you know, no matter what it is, they learn to adapt. And the thing is, can we learn to adapt? And, you know, to me, you know, a lot of people don't want to adapt because they believe they haven't done anything wrong. They rely on their egos. But what for me was he wants to adapt. And so, like he says, intermission. And I guess after thought and thinking, he says it's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for us. And we're feeling good. We all can adapt if we want to.
Absolutely. Well said there, Lou. And Laurent, your thoughts.
Well, that was such a great comment, but Lou, I scarcely know what to say. I mean, you really covered everything that I wanted to say. But I will say this. I'm with you when it comes to Eric's voice. I'm surprised you hadn't heard it up till now. But when I looked at the words Dream Theater and then heard him say Dream Theater, I just smile because it sends a shiver up my back. I mean, this is a voice, excuse me, among voices. When he says dragonfly adroit, I dart to and fro, copulate with reality, dream theater, aerial display of note. I said to myself, this is a special poem. And so it was, given everything that Lou said about it. The ending, it's almost the ending of that rock song, which I can't remember the name of, but it says that, you know, it's a new day, is in the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
But he takes the complexity of his language and then just contracts it to the simple essence of communication. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for us. We're feeling good. And just the way he states it allows us, yes, feel very comfortable.
Absolutely. Well said there. And I know that song is sung by Nina Simone. I just can't remember the exact name of it, though. I think it might actually be A New Day.
Yeah.
But don't
Feeling Good.
That.
Yeah.
Feeling Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Phil knows. Great comments, everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Back to you,
Dean. Well. That's all right. That's all right. Great job, Eric. I think we have room for one more Whittle One. Just a Whittle One. So
a Whittle
Whittle
One.
A Whittle One.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. And this was written by E. L. Lard, Lux Aeterna, One. No one knows light like the moon, though she has none of her own. She bathes it in morning after morning, a soak of soft water colors, petals bleeding on the sky, gifts from a long-distance lover she will never meet, for at the birth of each day, the moon waves goodbye, and at dusk she repeats, strophic, unending, stolen, sun song. Two, both out of the restless fog of daydreams and moonbeams, it manifests slowly, backwards, inside out, materializing from mist and breath and thought. The song is visible, a plush glow like velvet, rabbit fur soft and gentler than a lover's touch. Three, here there is something old, old and quiet, sleeping in peaceful day. Light balls its cocoon and nectar, dripping steadfast from golden leaves in poem.
Wow.
Wonderful read there, Lou. I have to say, this is a beautiful vignette with just stunning imagery. And I like how she uses the moon to capture the essence of someone who shares the light of other people and therefore shines themselves. And just absolutely stunning and very well done. And Lawrence, your thoughts?
I agree with you, Pam. You know, the moon has no light of its own. No one knows light like the moon, though she has none of her own. Her reflection offers her color, the reflection of the sun on her. And it's the reflection of the sun, or light itself, that soak of soft watercolors. And she uses the sense of touch, the sense of song, the visible. The song is visible. A push glow like velvet rabbit fur, soft and gentler than a lover's touch. I had never thought about light in the sense that it you can't see it except as a reflection from what it touches, like nectar dripping steadfast from golden leaves. Gorgeous piece.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, yeah, I like how she gives a feel, like, to the light itself. So, yeah, wonderful comment. And Martha, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was beautiful. Beautiful imagery and brings out things that I didn't even really think about. But to me, it shows how we don't have to have our own light. Sometimes we can just reflect the light of someone around us. That was really well done and beautiful.
It truly is. Well said there. And Lou, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
You know, for me, this, you know, this is just like very sad moment in her life. You know, we all know that there's lovers under the moon, but there's also mourners that mourn the moon. When two people look at the same moon, that they're so far apart, she realizes that she will never be that lover under the moon. She will always be the mourner because she will never be able to be with them. And then she talks about the restless frog, you know, where that heaviness where you can't breathe, you know, and you so want, I really like this image, plush glow like velvet rabbit fur, that touch. For me, it was that touch of that person that you wish could touch you, but it can't. And so, you know, I found it deeply beautiful, deeply sad, and I hope she finds her peace.
Absolutely. Really well said there, Lou. That was a great observation. And Phil, are you back with us?
Kind of, sort of.
All right. Well, great show tonight.
Thank you, and you too. Thank you, Gray, for letting us for you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Lou, it's always great to hang with you. Martha, thanks for all you hanging out with us all night. All right, thank you for calling in. Thanks, Bobby. Who am I missing, Pam? Anybody? Somebody? I don't think so. I think I'm safe.
I believe you've covered everybody.
Thank you for co-hosting / hosting with me. You know?
Absolutely. Always fun.
Yeah. It's always something, right? Hon. Okay, everybody. It was fun.
Fantastic.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you, Lou. You too. Good night, Martha. Thanks for coming in.
Good night,
bye,
everybody.
Bye.
We'll have to do it again some other night. Should be fun.
Yep.
Okay. Well, good night, Pam.